Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. America's Founding Son by Bob Crawford is a popular historical biography of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, with special attention to the unusual and consequential second act of his public career. Rather than treating Adams mainly as a one-term president overshadowed by Andrew Jackson, the book follows him from diplomatic prodigy and establishment figure to defeated president, congressman, and combative critic of slave power. Crawford, known also as a musician and history podcaster, writes for general readers who want a clear narrative rather than a narrowly academic monograph. The purpose is to recover Adams as a figure who connected the founding generation to the conflicts that would later produce the Civil War. The book emphasizes public service, moral independence, constitutional argument, and the political importance of anti-slavery petitioning. Its central interest is not only what Adams believed, but how a former president used a lower office to reshape national debate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the post-presidency becomes the center of Adams' historical importance. A distinctive feature of the book is its focus on the years after John Quincy Adams left the White House. Many presidential biographies treat defeat as the closing movement of a political life, but Crawford presents the 1828 loss to Andrew Jackson as the turning point that made Adams more historically significant. Adams had been a diplomat, Secretary of State, and president. Yet his decision to enter the House of Representatives reversed the usual hierarchy of ambition. The move looked like a demotion, but it gave him a platform that was closer to the public conflicts of the age. Crawford uses this choice to examine a broader idea of public service, one based less on rank than on duty. Adams did not retire into prestige or memoir writing. He returned to daily legislative combat, where he could confront the expansion of slavery, defend the right of petition, and challenge the political power of Southern interests. This reframing makes the book less a conventional presidency study and more an account of how influence can grow after formal power declines. Secondly, anti-slavery petitioning shows how procedure became a moral battlefield. The book highlights Adams' role in presenting anti-slavery petitions to Congress, an issue that may seem procedural but carried major constitutional and moral weight. In the 1830s and 1840s, citizens used petitions as a primary method of addressing grievances to elected representatives. Abolitionists sent petitions asking Congress to restrict or confront slavery, and pro-slavery legislators sought to prevent these petitions from being read, debated, or received. Adams did not always share the tactics or assumptions of abolitionist activists, but he insisted that petitioners had a right to be heard. Crawford treats this as a key example of how democratic institutions can be weakened by rules that appear technical. The conflict over petitions was not merely about paperwork. It exposed the extent to which slaveholding interests depended on suppressing discussion, as well as preserving property claims. Adams understood that the right to petition linked ordinary citizens to constitutional government. By defending that right, he made anti-slavery politics more visible and forced Congress to confront the contradiction between Republican liberty and human bondage. Thirdly, Adams stands between the founding generation and the coming Civil War. Crawford positions Adams as a bridge between two defining eras of United States history. Born into the revolutionary world of John and Abigail Adams, he grew up close to the ideals and sacrifices of the founding generation, yet his later career unfolded amid expansion, mass party politics, sectional conflict, and the intensifying fight over slavery. This long span gives the biography a structural advantage. Through Adams, readers can see how founding principles were inherited, tested, and often compromised by later political realities. The book presents early 19th century America not as a quiet interval between the Revolution and the Civil War, but as a turbulent period when the meaning of the Republic was contested. Adams had to navigate issues of diplomacy, national development, democracy, territorial growth, and slavery. His life reveals how the promises of liberty and self-government were never settled simply because they had been declared. Crawford uses Adams' career to show that the founding was not a finished achievement. It created arguments that later generations had to fight through, often at great political cost. Fourthly, grassroots abolitionism changes national politics through unlikely alliances. The book does not portray Adams as acting alone against slavery. It places him in relation to anti-slavery organizers and reformers who helped bring pressure into national politics. Figures such as Benjamin Lundy and Theodore Weld are associated with the broader abolitionist movement. And Crawford uses this context to show that political change came from interaction between elected office and grassroots activism. Adams gave institutional force to petitions and arguments that came from outside Congress, while activists supplied the moral urgency and organized pressure that made slavery harder to ignore. This dynamic matters because it prevents the story from becoming a simple great man narrative. Adams had unusual status as a former president, but his effectiveness depended partly on citizens who demanded that their views enter the public record. The book, therefore, illustrates how reform movements operate through multiple channels at once: public opinion, print culture, petitions, congressional procedure, and personal courage all contributed to shifting the terms of debate. Crawford presents anti-slavery politics as a developing coalition rather than a single moment of conversion. Lastly, accessible narrative history connects antebellum conflict to modern political concerns. Crawford writes in an accessible style shaped by popular history, podcasting, and public storytelling rather than by dense specialist argument. This approach is important to the book's identity. It aims to make Adams relevant to readers who may know him only as the son of John Adams or as a relatively unsuccessful president. The narrative emphasizes conflict, personality, institutional stakes, and the recognizable pressures of political life. Adams appears as an insider displaced by a populist movement, a public servant with a difficult temperament, and a legislator willing to antagonize powerful opponents. These elements allow Crawford to connect antebellum debates with enduring questions about democracy, minority rights, political courage, and the suppression of dissent. The book does not need to claim that the past exactly repeats the present. Its value lies in showing how earlier Americans argued over who could speak, whose grievances counted, and whether constitutional forms would protect vulnerable claims. In that sense, the biography uses historical specificity to illuminate modern anxieties without turning Adams into a simple contemporary symbol. In conclusion, this book is best suited to general readers of American history, presidential biography, and anti-slavery politics who want a lively account of John Quincy Adams beyond the familiar outline of his presidency. It will be especially useful for readers interested in the period between the founding generation and the Civil War. Since Crawford treats those decades as politically decisive rather than transitional, the intellectual benefit is a clearer understanding of how slavery shaped congressional procedure, party conflict, and constitutional debate long before secession. The practical benefit is a sharper sense of how public office can matter even when it lacks glamour or high status. Compared with many presidential biographies, the book stands out by shifting the center of gravity from executive power to post-presidential service in the House of Representatives. Compared with more academic studies of abolitionism, it offers a more approachable narrative, anchored in one recognizable figure while still acknowledging grassroots activism. Its most distinctive contribution is the portrait of Adams as a political maverick whose greatest influence came after defeat, when he used persistence, procedure, and moral argument to make the contradictions of the Republic harder to avoid. If you would like to support Bob Crawford, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.